the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Brant. Thanks for listening to the show. Tandy wrote on Facebook, she said, "Hey, Brant, just curious, you're always saying misfits and such are welcome to your show, but what about those of us who think we are super cool and hip?
Oh, great question.
Are we welcome to?
Good question.
Love, you and Sherry." That's very nice,
That's
Tandy.
Sweet.
The answer is no, you're not.
What? Wow, I wasn't expecting that.
No, I told her, yeah, you're totally welcome. But yeah. I said, be forewarned, because usually if you're super cool and hip, after a few days, you're like, I don't belong here.
Yeah. Oh, we hope. Is there any way we can make this
totally
more welcoming to the hip and cool? Maybe we should try to be hip and cool.
Like, I haven't been trying for a long time. That's how we got to this thing. It's like, I finally gave up. Like, it doesn't work. If you want to seem smart, there are certain things that you should do and not do. It's really interesting. One of them is walk the same speed that everybody else is walking. Apparently that people associate that with intelligence. Never thought about it before. They did this research. I am messing this up big time, because they say if you walk too fast, then think you're not very smart or too slow.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think if you're lagging behind, they would think.
I thought too.
Because you are like the roadrunner. Having to walk with you through airports or when we're traveling.
Thank you.
I'm at a slow jog.
It's because I'm not very smart.
that's what the data says, huh?
Well, I always feel like, why is everybody going so slow?
Yeah.
Point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Let's get there.
Yeah.
Because we want to be there, don't we?
that's where we're going.
Airport or something. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a nice airport, but I don't want to be here.
Yes. So you're walking very quickly.
And wait in that other area. Trying to get to the wait place.
Yeah.
That's my thought. Hey, look, we're all trying to support ourselves, right? Financially. This guy came up with a brilliant idea. It's a website that generates income.
Okay.
I don't know if you can copy this, but he did it. It's his website. You can look it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's called How Many People Paid a Dollar to See How Many People Paid a Dollar.com. And what you do.
It's a long name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you go on that site and it has a PayPal thing. And if you pay a dollar, you can see how many people have paid a dollar so far.
Wow.
To see how many people paid a dollar.
I am so ashamed to say.
To see how many people paid a dollar. I almost did it.
I think I would probably be like, it's just a dollar.
Can somebody do it and tell us so we don't have to spend a dollar?
Because I want to know now.
How many people paid a dollar to see how many people paid a dollar?
I want to know.
.com. Really struck today again by something. You know how you can think about something and then later on it hits you again? Like, what? Wow, it hits you differently. I just have realized how absurd to our culture this whole Christianity thing is. It really is absurd, because Jesus is saying the absolute opposite of what our culture says. He says, deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. And that is just the absolute, if you're going to like just draw a line from one pole to the other pole, it's the absolute opposite. Because he's saying you're going to have things you want. You're going to have desires in your life. You're going to have stuff you want. To deny yourself means, and you're going to say, I'm going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so anathema to what our culture says, which is just, they can't even fathom that. Like the culture we're swimming in, you and me, all of us are swimming in.
Life isn't even worth living.
No, unless I can get my desires fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And to even suggest that you would have a desire that God might say, yeah, you have that desire, but it's best not fulfilled because it'll destroy you. To even suggest that is so crazy. It just sounds absurd to people. And you know what? That's okay. Because I think properly understood, following Jesus has always looked crazy to the outside world. It always has. Here's another thing, it's a little crazy to people. They like the part where Jesus says, love your neighbor. They'll quote that a lot. Like, it's all about loving your neighbor. We should love our neighbors. Yeah, I got it. The thing is, that's the second half of the greatest commandment. The first part is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. That's the part where people are like, okay, I'm jumping off that train. Mm-hmm. I just want to go with the second half of it. Why? I'm guessing because it has to do with the first thing we're talking about.
Like, yeah.
If God is really God and he's the king, and you're saying, I'm acknowledging him as the king, I'm not going to get everything I want, That's not a popular idea.
No.
So it's like, let's skip that. Go straight to the love your neighbor. Look, love your neighbor is important. It's the second half of that thing. They came out with a study that shows, I don't think this will surprise anybody, by the way, that if you hang out with people who are obese clinically, you're more likely to be obese.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at that study. I'm like, yeah, figured that. Is there anything that's not true for? I mean, if take weight and food out of the equation.
I wish I could. But go ahead. Please continue.
Let me take that off your plate. And yes. Think about something else here. Because we're influenced by the people we're around. I don't know anybody who's not.
It's true.
I feel like myself. I'm a rock. You know, I'm not influenced by other people. I think I'm independently and blah, blah, blah. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. But I am influenced because I'm a human being.
That's right.
About not just eating, but all sorts of stuff. I've heard people say you're the average of the five people you hang out with the most.
I can see that.
I don't know if that's true, but yeah, there's something to it.
Yeah, when people start hanging out together, I notice my friends and I kind of talk the same.
Totally.
Kind of have the same kind of insight on things.
Yeah.
So
don't be surprised if you're hanging out with people who make foolish decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If you become a fool, it's not going to be shocking. And you're probably not going to even notice it yourself because somebody else have to point it out. You'll just feel the repercussions of it. You'll feel the pain
mm-hmm.
of the bad decisions and stuff. But yeah, look, it's not just food. It's everything. This is totally new and it's going to be incredible. I cannot wait to do this. It is the Joke Factory Challenge. We're going to make a joke together, me and whoever's on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we have...
Dorian. Yes.
And we'll have 1 minute to do it. Sherry's going to give us two random things. We have 1 minute to work together,
mm-hmm.
come up with a joke, and it only has to reach the level of moderately amusing, and that's up to Sherry.
Oh, I'm the judge.
Right. Moderately okay. amusing is what we're aiming for.
So I'm not working with you guys. I'm standing on the outside.
You are. You're going to give us the two random things.
Okay.
We'll get 1 minute to do it. That's it.
Moderately amusing.
I know it's not going to be rip-roaring hilarious, but
okay.
just something, all right?
Okay.
Okay, so here we go. You ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. Computers.
Computers.
And candy.
And candy, okay.
Go.
Oh, how many bites does it take to
ooh.
Get to the middle of a candy thing?
Fell apart at the end there, but okay.
What do you think?
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. How many bites does it take?
That's it?
To get to the middle of a...
Like?
What is it? A lollipop thing.
Tootsie Pop.
Okay, so give me the joke.
Did you hear about the computer that ate the Tootsie Pop? Yeah, it took 1,024 bites to finish it.
You know what? Not bad.
Yeah.
All right. Not bad. Okay. A megabyte to the Tootsie Pop. Yeah, got
it's
it.
It's not hilarious, but it's...
it's moderately amusing.
Moderately amusing.
Yes.
It's kind of tricky to talk about. And look, I happen to write, you should know this, I happen to write a book called Unoffendable a couple of years ago about anger. And so I go around talking about this and how we need to forgive people and kind of the radical truth about that. So the book is called Unoffendable.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine sent me a link to a new book that's out as of last week, and it's from a pastor at a big church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the same topic, mm-hmm. about anger and forgiving people. And it's also called Unoffendable. So
therein lies the quandary that you
it's
wrote
the
yours.
The same title and same word that I, and then.
A couple of years ago you wrote yours.
Yeah, and it's still kind of out there and still going.
Yes, it is.
It's done really well, and I'm very thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's national, it's out.
Yeah.
HarperCollins published it.
Yes.
So it puts me in a kind of an awkward, if not predictable situation where I've got to practice what I'm preaching.
I felt bad because you sent it to me. You texted it to me. And I read it and I was...
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, no, I wasn't surprised.
Really?
I was mad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... But then I was like, but is book Unoffendable? I even texted you and told you, I know this flies in the face
right.
of the book, but I'm really, really angry.
Right. Well, there's a flash of that
mm-hmm.
with me, too. I mean, because, again, anger is a natural reaction.
Yes.
And we can get threatened by different... I think as we get more mature, we're threatened by less and less.
Because
mm-hmm. we realize, wait a second, I gave my whole life to Jesus. Why would I be threatened by anything else?
Mm-hmm.
But, that said, yeah, I have a flash of it. Had to think, okay, you know, apply this stuff here. I don't know that he knows about the book. Sherry thinks it's likely that he does.
I find it very hard to believe that someone came up with that. The concept, the description is the same.
Okay, but we don't know it. And
we don't know. Okay, you're
and
right.
Might as well presume the best.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I'm not there.
Yeah, I tweet. In case you're like, why don't you contact? I did. I tweeted him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping to hear back from him. I'm not angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I would like to know how's this going to work. Because what happens is if you do something on a national scale, it gets out there and you're trying to build this and do interviews and write pieces. And
if someone Googles it, then two things come
up. Then now you're, mm-hmm. It's like starting Wendy's and then somebody else does Wendy's. And like, well, we just spent a lot on advertising. This. We're working hard to make these square burgers. I know you are too.
And
God bless you, but that puts us in an awkward situation. Found this article. You might be interested in this. I don't know. About how to seem smart. Another one of these things, it says to not be monotone when you talk. Because if you are monotone, people don't think you're very intelligent.
I don't know. Again, I think that monotone, I associate that with my professors in college. And they were smart.
Thanks for saying that.
Obviously, because they were there.
I have heard myself on the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit bracing. In my mind, I'm wildly animated.
And then you heard the tape and you're like, who's that?
I knew it's so bad. I'm so embarrassed.
No, it's
when
not
I first
bad.
Started, no, when I first started being on the radio,
mm-hmm.
In my head, I sounded a certain way. And then I listened to the tape and like, oh boy. It was on a student station called WDBS.
Okay.
It was a rock alternative. In my mind, what I was doing was, WDBS, we got rock and roll for you here on W.
Right.
And what came out on the tape was, WDBS, my name is Brian Hansen. Hope you enjoyed that last song from Husker Du.
That's entertaining.
You were entertaining.
Yes, I was.
You were entertaining. I was not. Yeah, it is kind of weird. If you just tuned in, what happened was there's a book out. I wrote a book called Unoffendable about anger and forgiveness. Now there's a new book out, and it's called Unoffendable, and it's about anger and forgiveness, and it's written by a pastor,
mm-hmm.
and it's on Amazon and whatnot. I don't want anybody to go and give him a hard time.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Why are you looking at me like that?
But it is kind of tough to know what to do with that. You know, it's tough to know. How would you handle it?
Oh, golly, that's so hard.
Yeah.
There's the school answer, and then there's the real life answer.
Well, what's the real life one?
In Sunday school, you're like, oh, okay, Jesus, thank you for putting the message on my heart, because obviously other people are doing it too. So this is the word for the hour. And real world is, I bet he read my book.
I have a little more with that answer that I'd like to do. I came in and I told Brant, now listen, because I went and told my whole family, Dorian. And then I told him, I said, now my family has come up with what we like to call hood solutions. Those solutions perhaps will cause problems later down the line, but we do have them because, boy, was I not was.
Well, the highest irony, obviously,
mm-hmm.
this book is about not harboring anger.
So how do you do this?
Well, okay, I haven't talked to him. Again, I tweeted to him. I hope he'll get back a hold of me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, like, when I was writing the book, I was talking about how Dallas Willard had said anger is a Christian's biggest problem.
Yes.
In America is anger. And he said, but it doesn't mean that if somebody takes your parking space that you just say, hey, fine, take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you say, that's my parking space.
Right.
You can't park there.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it without anger and malice.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that, hey, I've done worse.
Right.
And in fact, you know, I have. This is a public service, and it's for you. And I use skills that I've achieved over time and accrued that are survival skills. Mm. So I teach you how to survive in the wild. And if this happens, what happens next? I'm always thinking about escape for whatever reason.
Have you been in the wild?
I've had to escape.
The wild?
This show. Anyway, so I will teach this through something we call survival school. We have Corey here, I believe. So Corey, and then Corey,
yes.
You ready for this? I'll give you a scenario. You'll have 5 seconds to figure your way out of it. That's the survival school way we do it here. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So Imagine a beautiful day. You're at sea on an Alaskan cruise. I just did one of these, so I was thinking about it.
Oh, okay. You were thinking about survival scenarios while you're on
a cruise. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, was I the whole time. Anyway, you're at sea, and you're floating in a channel between an Alaskan island and the mainland. It's beautiful. All along the beach, you see baby bears in a row. They're all lined up.
Oh, that's sweet.
In a row. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, you look to the port side, and there's mama bears all in a row on the other side. And you realize, wait a second, we just drifted right between mama bears and their baby bears.
Oh,
and now
no.
the mama bears are starting to swim out to the ship.
Whoa.
And they're ticked. What now? Now, what do you do? You have 5 seconds.
I can't bear the thought.
Okay. If that's the last thing that goes through your mind is a pun, so be it.
I think that's fantastic.
This is how I go. I mean, it's rather grisly, but I guess that's it.
Yes!
Yeah, okay, we're going to keep doing this.
He's fantastic, Grant.
All right. You guys might think this is funny on this Alaska cruise with the bears
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Okay.
But there was a guy in a bear suit welcoming people on board. So you get your picture taken with a giant standing bear with a backdrop, and then you get on board.
Okay.
Well, a lady who listens to the show
mm-hmm.
was getting on with her husband, and she thought it'd be funny because his mouth is open, his big bear mouth,
mm-hmm.
to punch inside the mouth.
Oh.
Well, that's where the guy's eyes were. She punched him square in the face. And the bear was staggered. And she was alarmed because she did not expect to feel skin like when she punched in there.
Yeah.
And he was, literally the bear was staggering around. He was trying to, it was so sad.
That
and the photographer was over there like a boxing trainer, like, you can be all right, can you stay up? Staggering up
yeah,
and down.
Because you're
sidewalk.
Not expecting it. When you're a Chuck E. Cheese,
right.
you're expecting to get punched every 5 seconds. But when you're a bear outside of Alaskan cruise, you think you're safe.
She felt so bad.
I'm sure she did.
Yeah, she was she wanted to crawl in a hole. She's like, I can't believe I just punched that guy in the face. Been talking about this list they have here from research about how you can seem smarter to people. There are little things, including actually wearing glasses.
Makes you seem smarter.
Still works.
Makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I mean, it makes sense they would put that on the list.
They put make it on the list. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't understand why. Oh, he's nearsighted.
He must be brilliant.
Yeah. Let me take my problems to him. He can't see his hand in front of his face. So, and I'm saying that as somebody who's always been profoundly nearsighted.
That didn't work for you? That people thought, oh, he's smart?
No, I think they did.
Yeah, see?
I think they
did. Okay.
And plus, I told them all that I was, and I think that helps.
That helps, too, the announcement.
The clothes we wear shape the perceptions of people and mm-hmm. how they see us as being smart or not. If you dress a little nicer, people will think you're more boring, but smarter.
Not nicer.
So. Nicer.
Oh, if you dress nice?
Yeah, they'll think you're boring.
Okay.
But not as intelligent. And it also says they've actually done, this is fascinating to me, because people will tell you, maybe your mom or dad, like, well, how you dress influences how you act.
Mm-hmm.
It does. They had people actually wear white lab coats
mm-hmm.
while they were taking intelligence tests, and they did better on the intelligence test when they're wearing the lab coats.
Oh, man. I should wish I would have had that all through college. Just the lab coat to all my classes.
I know. Totally would have done that. Hey, question. You ever had to write a bio? Anybody ever ask you to write a bio?
Oh, that's so hard.
A little professional bio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I really hate doing that.
I do, too. And, you have to write it third person, like, Sherry Lynn is this and that and the other thing. And then she, you're writing it yourself.
Yeah, it's
Everybody
awful.
Else knows it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to write one for my website. So
okay.
If you go to brandhanson.com, I put a new bio up there.
Okay.
But I hate doing that. But the one I'd written before was supposed to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized I'm a professional. There are some things where they're actually going to want.
Yeah.
Why are you allowed to speak to our group or whatever it is?
That's true. Very true.
So if you go there now, new bio.
Oh, I'm going. I didn't know you had a new one there.
Yeah. There's one that's the top one says, this is my professional bio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the one that sounds impressive.
Okay.
And then you can read it. And then the second one's like, here's my actual one.
Good. Compare and contrast.
Yeah, Brant has some social problems.
Is there still a stick figure drawing of yourself?
I should do that.
Okay.
I should do that. And I just, Brant likes to hang out with outcasts.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't understand social cues, but he likes simple people. And because they like him. So I had to write it in third person.
Right.
So there you go.
I'm going to see it.
There's the professional one and then the real one, BrantHanson.com.
you know, posting on social media about politics. Really difficult not to do it when you're swimming in it all the time, our culture is, seems like.
Yeah.
I had to have a real heart-to-heart with myself. Just almost in the mirror, just
so
talking to myself. Like
telling yourself not to do it.
Telling myself this doesn't help anyone. And I thought it was from a humorous point of view.
Nope.
But
I didn't even see it. I know it wasn't because it doesn't matter.
No, that's what I had to tell myself. It doesn't matter if you think it's funny. It doesn't matter if you think everyone should think it's funny and everyone should get over themselves. They're not. It's not. It's not helpful. It's not edifying. Just drop it. That's what I had to say to myself over and over and over again.
It's tough to even if you balanced everything out perfectly for everybody, mm-hmm. like everybody's views were represented a proportionate amount of times. You joke on the Democrats one mm-hmm. day, Republicans the next, mm-hmm. Democrats one day. It still would be filtered through how people see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that you say that they don't like will stick with them.
Yep.
Because anger travels. And it travels well. But they did a study about this. I don't know if we've talked about this on the air before, but they actually did a study. It was a Chinese university about angry tweets and how they'll get retweeted much more than something positive.
Mm-hmm.
Always. So that's the medium where anger is a super highway for it. And it's not that politics doesn't matter, because it does. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, joking about it, mm-mm.
Or even posting about it, really, I think. Now, everyone's different, but...
They are. You'd hate to say you can't.
I'm not saying you can't.
Right.
I'm just saying it takes some consideration
uh-huh.
because I've never seen it help.
Yeah, the Babylon Bee, the satirical website,
mm-hmm.
had a thing on there. I think we've done this before, too, but they talked about how, I think the headline was 92% of angry Facebook discussions result in conversions.
That's what we'd like to think, but it's not true.
It doesn't work that way. Mm-mm, nope. Got a note from a concerned listener to the program about my stance regarding official national days and international days.
Okay, they're questioning it?
Yeah, well, they're just wondering what I was going to do, because I do the opposite of whatever that day is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's national...
chicken wing day.
Chicken wing day. I'm not going to have a chicken wing.
Okay.
I'm not even going to think about chicken wing. I'm not going to say chicken wing if it's national chicken wing. I'm not into it. I'm not going to be bossed around
Fine.
Or bullied. But they were concerned about how I handled All or Nothing Day a couple days ago.
Oh, good question.
National All or Nothing Day.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let you know, I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
I did everything halfway. I didn't do everything halfway. I did most things halfway.
Oh, because if you did all things halfway,
then it's all
still playing into it. Sure.
So I just kind of did
half things mediocre.
Yeah.
That had to be a great
really,
day.
Yeah. It wasn't real different from my normal thing, but I came out of it okay.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.